On the next episode of Sip, Suds, and Smokes.
Daytime, nighttime, other time, anytime.
Is all wine time.
Is wine always time. Wine time. Well, this is a wine episode, as you can well tell. And here are the wines we're going to be discussing today. So we have the Emelo Merlot 2021. We have the Camus California Cabernet Sauvignon 2022. The Camus Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon 2022 50th Anniversary Release. Stuart Sellers Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon 2021. And from Alpha Omega, we have the Alpha Omega Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon 2018, the Alpha Omega Cabernet Sauvignon Beckstoffer Tokalon 2018, and the Alpha Omega Era Napa Valley 2018. So, pretty damn good show.
We'll be right back after this break. Almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It's Sips, Suds, and Smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sippin' time.
Hey, sippin' time again. Welcome to this Sips episode where everything good in life is worth discussing. As always, we are the best thing on at 2 a.m.
Is that true still? I mean, there's so many streaming options these days.
Well, George Jefferson's just moved to our time slot, so they're moving on up.
They're moving on up.
To the east side? To the
Do you east not side. Have the theme song available on your board there,
George? Oh yeah, because we did a Jefferson's Bourbon episode, so I had the theme song. Yeah.
Just dude, it's so easy. It's modern days. Come on.
Yeah, well, I didn't know anybody was going to bring up Jefferson, so you know,
I always bring up Hogan's Heroes. Yeah. You should have something there.
Oh, I've definitely got Hogan's Heroes.
All right,
I got Colonel Quink in there somewhere. I'll find him. Well,
okay, so we are maybe the best thing on at 2 a.m. on NPR.
Yeah, unless like Hogan's Heroes is on.
Well, there you go.
Because, I mean, you know, it's Hogan's Heroes. You know, it's Clink and General Bulk Archer.
Well, Hogan's Heroes is not on NPR. I said NPR.
Yeah, I don't think they're on NPR.
Are we still on NPR? We're still on NPR on some shows.
We're on a lot of NPR stations.
A lot of NPR stations, okay.
Well, this
Pacific
is
Made Man. Radio.
Yeah. Well, this is Made Man Bob. Joining me today are good old boy Harm.
Thanks for having me, Bob. So I love wine shows. We don't do them enough.
Well, there's only 52 weeks in a year, so, you know, I'm hoping to get and some more keep, wine, and I'm
those
hoping
guys,
to get some
those, 30s. The rest of the crew over in Tennessee keeps doing those beer shows. What's up with that? I know Suds is in the title of the show, but come on, man.
Well, if you drove up there and took them out, then we'd gain another 20 weeks a year.
But. I need whiskey and wine, man. We don't need Suds. Do we need Suds? You Suds people suck.
Well, we're going to be doing... hopefully be doing some 30-minute shows with some wine this year because, again, we just keep getting more fantastic wines to talk about than we have time. So
it's an embarrassment of riches.
Yeah, I can't complain. So, and we got Made Man Maury.
Good morning, gentlemen. Pleasure to be here in the basement. We have an outstanding lineup today. I am very excited.
Yeah, so I can tell.
Your pants back
adjust
on.
Your pants, would
put
you?
Put your pants back
it's
on.
Really embarrassing. Yes, and good old boy Justin.
Good morning. So good that today ends in a Y, which means it's a perfect day to drink wine.
It's always
well said. Well said.
It's always a good day to drink wine.
Well, so. It ends in a Y. Come on.
Yeah. Daytime, nighttime, other time, anytime.
Is all wine time.
Is wine always time. Wine time. Well, this is a wine episode, as you can well tell. And here are the wines we're going to be discussing today. So we have the Emelo Merlot 2021. We have the Camus California Cabernet Sauvignon 2022, the Camus Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon 2022 50th Anniversary Release, Stuart Sellers Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon 2021, And from Alpha Omega, we have the Alpha Omega Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon 2018, the Alpha Omega Cabernet Sauvignon Beckstoffer Tokalon 2018, and the Alpha Omega Era Napa Valley 2018. So pretty damn good show. So,
oh yeah.
So against all of my better judgment and everything in my
being, I don't think you have better judgment anymore, Bob.
That tells me not to. I'm going to go ahead and have Justin tell us about our SIPs ratings.
Well, I've taken the effort to bring Jimmy Stewart back from the dead just to do our SIPs ratings.
For the Stewart wine people.
For the Stewart wine people.
Yeah.
One sip.
Give me a glass of water to wash out my mouth. I think he's still dead.
Thank God. Yeah, thank God.
Two sips.
Nice, but what else do you have?
Well, that was actually
pretty good. It was getting better.
Three sips.
Well, that's interesting, but what was this again?
Interesting.
Sound like a chicken. Okay.
Four sips.
Let's keep this secret to ourselves and pour me another.
That's classified.
Five sips.
Oh my, I was unaware anything could be this good.
Oh my goodness.
Yes.
I'm not going to say it's good, but compared to most of the ones he does, that's a real low bar of comparison.
Yeah.
So, actually practiced once.
Yeah,
once. And it shows. All right. Well, we're going to have Harm tell us about our first wine. So,
thanks, Bob.
Let us know.
Our first wine for the day is Amelo Merlot. It's the 2021, 14.4% ABV. Amelo is part of the Wagner family of wines, which we've talked endlessly about because we've been reviewing them for years. This is made by winemaker Jenny Wagner, the daughter of Chuck Wagner of Camus. Amelo is the name of Jenny's mother's family, who has a long farming history in Napa Valley. And that would be Chuck's ex-wife. I don't know why you put it down as Jenny's mother's family. Whatever. Anyway, the color is a beautiful ruby, mostly opaque. The edges are kind of clear. It's a little bit still young, the 21. It's drinking well, but the nose, it's all about cherries and sandalwood and spice. And I got, when we first poured it, I got a bunch of orange peel that seems to have dissipated. You guys still get the orange peel on that nose?
Not as much.
I do not.
Yeah, the orange peel has dissipated. When we first poured, I got cocktail cherries and orange peels. There's a little leather note to it. And, with that cherry and the orange, at first it was like an old fashioned. It was kind of weird. They had been drinking too much last night. But
you just didn't brush your teeth or wash your hands.
On the entry, really rich, smooth. The cherries there, a lot of plum coming out from the, some Merlot. You expect those plums. Some umami. The tannins are really well done here. It's just like powdery soft. There's a little bit of cinnamon and clove. But
is it umami or is it umami?
Umami. But the tannins, when I first tasted it, they were too soft. Giving it some time in the air and just letting it sit in the glass, the tannins are more that powdery, beautiful. Gives you a little dusty, bit of that pucker.
Dusty.
Good. But it's not that Rutherford dust.
No, it's Napa Valley. The tannins are dusty.
Yeah, no. The Rutherford dust is those tannins from Rutherford are more sharp and a little more intense. This is just very soft tannins, but not too soft. The finish is medium long, and I really enjoyed it. Maury, what do you think?
You know, I'm going to echo a lot of the things you said. I would agree with you. It definitely had that interesting nose with the cocktail cherries and the orange peel, but that did sort of blow off for a little bit. I got a lot of leather and some French oak on the nose.
I went cinnamon and clove, and that's to me that's French oak.
Yeah. I would agree with you. The flavors, you were spot on with that. The plums, the tannins. I agree with you. This is a full bodied Merlot. This is a Merlot. I would call a Merlot for cab drinkers. I really like this. I'm generally not a big Merlot fan. Merlot I find often to be a little bit thin. But I've had these wines before from release. MLO Labels has several wines in their portfolio, and I think this is one of their shining stars. They've really done a nice job with it. It's extremely well balanced. It's mouth coating. It's luscious. The tannins are well integrated. They're soft. I didn't think they were too soft at first harm, but they're definitely, after having been in the glass, are just beautiful. I just think it's drinking beautifully today.
I got to disagree with you. They're still soft for me. They're soft for
me. It's a Merlot. It's not a big cab.
No, it's not a cab. You're right. Yeah. You're right.
Justin, what do you think?
So I definitely got the big fake cherries note. I got like Darjeeling, mulled tea.
Darjeeling's a good call. That's a good call, yeah. A
little bit of sourdough bread.
That's weird, but okay.
On the palate, it was like fruity. I got a little bit of pork jerky, some nice oak. It was very well balanced.
I was going to go with umami for that, but pork jerky is very, very specific.
You imbecile! You bloated idiot!
No. I wasn't calling him stupid. That's just very specific. Pork jerky.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never had pork jerky.
I would agree with Harm. I probably would have just used umami as a general.
Okay. Umami.
You keep using that word.
Yeah.
I don't think it means what you think it means.
Maybe 5% of our audience knows what that means. And then the finish is a little chalky. But I loved it.
I thought the finish was relatively short. I mean, short to medium. It was certainly not a lengthy finish, but it was pleasant. Bob?
I think it was delicious. I think this is one of the better years from MLO that we've had. And we've been
You're right. This is a better.
We've been fortunate to review, you know, quite a few of their wines over the years. We've got a great relationship with the folks at Camus. They're an incredibly generous family. The Wagner family really has raised hundreds of thousands of dollars to support Honor Flight and flying World War II and Korea and Vietnam veterans to DC. So, and help us with the work that we do with that charity. So, I mean, just a really great family, but damn, Jenny can make some good wine.
She's been getting better. Yeah. She's really been getting better.
I mean, this is it. Just every year, the MLO, I think, gets better and better. And I think this is the best
one. We didn't cover the Sauv Blanc today, but I had a chance to taste the new release of the Sauv Blanc. And it was actually very good too. And I'm not a big California Sauv Blanc fan.
Yeah, I think this is excellent. It's got a lovely mouthfeel to it. It's got a night the tannins are just so well integrated into it. They're not overpowering, but they're absolutely there to let you know they're there. The boy was right on the tea. The tea is definitely there. I'm definitely picking that up.
Good one. Really good
cherries
call.
On the nose. It's got a lovely roundness and softness to it, but it's got a little bit more backbone than your typical California Merlot.
It doesn't say 100% Merlot. I'm thinking this is a blend of something else in there.
I couldn't tell you. I don't have that information on me. So, but I think she's done a great job. And you know, if you see it, Jenny, grab it. So we'll be back.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Hey, and we're back, and we just finished talking about our first wine, which is the MLO Merlot from the Wagner family, from Jenny Wagner. And we're going to be giving that a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
So That's going to take us to our next wine, and we're going to have Maury tell us about that one.
Why, thank you, Bob. The next wine is the Camus California Cabernet Sauvignon 2022 at 14.6% ABV. Introduced by Camus Vineyards with the 2021 vintage, this is their second release. This wine is a California Appellation Cabernet Sauvignon sourced from sites throughout the state, which feature climatic conditions, soils, and topography that are ideally suited to Cabernet. This project stems from excitement over California's diverse vineyard land and often lesser-known areas with the potential to produce exceptional Cabernet. You can watch a video and learn more by scanning the QR code on the back label of the wine bottle. So this has a beautiful, deep, dark, ruby color on the nose, blueberries, violets, and creme de cassis. Very, very fragrant nose. The palate very much reminds me of the pedigree of its big brother, the Napa Valley Camus Cabernet Sauvignon. Again, layers of lush red and blue fruits. There's a hint of mocha, some dark spice, and a finish that just goes on and on. I believe that this project was born out of high demand and high price for the regular Napa, and this allows them to make much more of basically Camus Cabernet by sourcing grapes from all over California. So the main difference would be this is a little bit of a lower price tag, and you're getting grapes from all over California rather than just Napa. And I think they've done an excellent job. To me, for a big discount, you're getting a wine that's nearly as good as the regular Camus. I've been a big fan of the regular Camus Napa Cabernet for a long time, been buying it for years. The 50th anniversary, which we'll talk about next, is no exception. And I think this is an excellent job at a baby brother that's very much discounted in price, but very much up there in terms of flavor, style, and quality. Harm?
Well, actually, Maury, a couple of things I have to disagree with you. The discount is not as big as it used to be. The discount used to be significant, but now it's almost as expensive as the regular stuff.
And okay, so you're at retail, yeah, and you would know better, but yeah, when it first came out...
In the restaurants, the discount's much bigger still.
And when it first came out of retail, there was at least a 30% discount.
Exactly, yeah, but I was hoping for 50%, but because it's California Appellation, not Napa, right?
Correct.
Well, so is your wife. Actually, she's hoping for 100%, but, well... That's, oh, I'm not supposed to talk about cases, am I? Never mind.
Don't go there, Bob. Yeah. Well, don't go there, Bob.
Anyway. She's going to take the house.
She'll take the house. She's already got the kid, man. She's turned her against me.
Well, that's just because she was.
She's 10 years old. She thinks she's 40.
Well, that's just because she's got taste. I mean, I know.
Whatever. So let's go back to the wine. The wine tastes great. So, well, the other thing I have to disagree with you is when I first tasted this wine, I did not enjoy it at all. But I thought you said the finish was long. I thought it was short, and I thought the palate was watery. But as it sat in the glass, I take that back. It's weird. You guys decanted this before I got here, right? Mm-hmm. It decanted a couple times, mm-hmm. So to let this out. But it does need time to sit in the glass. You said blueberries and violets and cassis. The violets, to me, have turned into rose petals as this is sent in the glass. And I'm getting a really good amount of spice coming out, not just cassis. It's like baking spices. This must be some French oak used here, right? I think. They don't say. And the fruit, it's got layers to it. It's blue and black fruit, like you said. But the mouthfeel is just not, it's not there for me. A little bit light, but there's, again, as it sits in the glass, better acidity coming out. The finish is medium. It's not long. I don't love it as much as you did, Maury. I think it's good still. What do you think, Justin?
So, big improvement over last year.
Okay.
Last year, it had a lot of disparate flavors that didn't meld well together. This wine plays really, really well, and it is almost as good as the regular Camus. So
you both like it more than I do.
Vindicated.
All right.
So I like it.
I think. Thank you, Justin.
I paid you to say that. Was the first year for this,
right? So this year they just made it a lot better, smoother.
Oh, don't use the smooth word. Oh, I hate that damn word.
Okay.
Oh,
too late.
No, you know what most people hate is moist, but I love moist.
Moist is a good word.
It's got a beautiful nose. Yeah, to me, it's more rose petals, like white rose petals. And a little bit of dark red fruit. And on the palate again, the red fruits jump out for me. There's a little bit of a spice to it. It's got a great mouthfeel. It gives you a coat. Front, back, sides.
You all like the mouthfeel. I did not like the mouthfeel.
I like the mouthfeel. I mean,
did I pour the right wine?
I'm not saying that it's the biggest wine I've had today or the biggest one on this table, but I think for the money, I think it's a very well-made wine. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was delicious. So we're going to be giving the Camus California Cabernet Sauvignon 2022 a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
Bob, do you want to tell us about the next expression from Camus?
Nah.
Okay, let's just drink it.
Just keep this one secret to ourselves?
Yeah, let's just drink and leave the tape running. What the hell? All right, fine. If I have to talk, I'll talk. Okay. So our next wine is also from Camus. It's the Camus Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon 2022, the 50th anniversary release, 14.6% ABV. So back in 1941, Chuck's parents, Charlie and Lorna Bell Gloss, purchased 73 acres, a few hundred yards from the Wagner Home Ranch, where they planted fruit orchards and 10 acres of wine grapes. In the 60s, they uprooted all the fruit and the walnut trees and replanted everything to wine grapes. They sold their grapes to Inglenook and to Sonoma Vineyards and several others. And then in 1972, Charlie, Lorna, and Chuck decided to establish their own winery, and they named it Camus Vineyards. And that's after the Mexican land grant to George Yount. If you go into Yountville, there's a plaque in the little park there that talks about how he was given a land grant by some general in the Mexican army for Rancho Camus, which, you know, was like half the county. So that's where the name came from. This special anniversary vintage celebrates 50 years of making Cabernet in Napa Valley with the folks at Camus. So the color is a lovely dark, 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 inky garnet.
It's more ruby than garnet, baby.
I don't know. Looks garnet to me. Oh, it's got a lovely nose.
It's got a lot going on in that nose. Much bigger.
Oh, wow. Yeah. This is the Camus you expect.
This is just... And this is just the regular. This isn't the special select.
Oh, no, I love the special select. But they didn't send us any today, so thanks for rubbing the salt in the wound there, Bob.
Oh. Yeah, just so pretty. There's flower petals. There's some herbs in there that I can't quite place.
The black tea that Justin talked about before.
The tea note is huge in that. A lot of black tea. A little bit of minerality, a little bit of dusty stone. And let's see what it tastes like. Dark red stewed fruit. Got a great mouthfeel. Got a good coat. Front, back, top, side palate. The tannins are there, but they're really well integrated. They're not, you know, leaping out at you.
But these aren't harsh tannins. They're really well integrated.
They're velvety and smooth and soft. They're there, but they're not whacking you. This is a winner. This is an absolute winner. I think this is one of the better ones they've done in a while. For me, this one's fantastic.
For me, this is the best one they've done in more than 10 years.
It's improved in the glass quite a bit.
But I thought the 40th anniversary was way too sweet. I think this is where it should be.
Yeah. Yeah, this is classic Camus from back in the day. That's what this is. This is like a throwback to what
to the roots, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, really, really good. What do you think, Justin?
I think that the pressure they must have been under to make the 50th anniversary is Stanley Cup Game 7 pressure, and they came through with a really good expression. It's got classic Camus notes. It's got the really nice dry tannins that the special select has like more of. So it's like halfway between your regular Camus and special select. And they did a great job with the packaging, as they always do. I was thrilled.
Maury?
I really don't have much to add. It's been a perennial favorite of mine. I buy this by the case every year, usually a number of cases. I agree. They changed the label and upgraded a little bit 10 years ago when the 40th came out, and they've been putting the number on the top of the bottle in the front of the label for the last 10 years or so. And so it's very dressed up. It's nice. Again, I agree with Justin. I think there was a lot of pressure. I think they came through in the clutch, and they produced a beautiful wine that they are should be proud of for their 50th anniversary. I thought the wine was delicious when I first poured it. Over the last hour, drinking and everything and coming back to it, it's only improve with time. I would say take your time, don't rush it, decant it, aerate it, let it sit in your glass and sip on it all night long. It's a winner.
Yeah, so I have to agree with you guys, except the thing about aeration. These wines are meant to be drunk young. Camus is not one of those wines that people say they was hold them for 20 years.
You know? No, 100%.
They want them to be appreciated when they're released. So you know what I missed was I didn't taste the unaerated version today. I mean, I had it before, but did you guys taste it unaerated at all?
No.
No? Because I want to know. Because most, you know, when I tell customers to aerate or wait, it's like I'll sell them wines. Look, you can't drink it this year. Please wait 2 to 5 years or 5, 10 years. There's things we have customers for that, and there's people who drink wine, they want to drink it young. Camus is one of those you drink young. What did this taste like before it was aerated? I bet it was might even have been better than it is now. I don't know. So I got all the notes you guys are saying. I got
Let's
all
take that a field trip to the store and pop a few more corks, and we'll drink them unaerated.
Yeah, we can do it. I got the keys. This is really approachable and wonderful, and they did a good job. Bob, what do you think for ratings? We can do that if you want, but I think you're overdoing it. Whatever. Well, I say 4 sips. I still say 4 sips.
Well, we're going to be giving it 4 sips.
All right.
So
I think we were all on the verge of almost 5, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Close. It was close.
Yeah. Well, I like to give you knuckleheads a chance to change your mind if you want to, because, you know, sometimes as we get into the show, opinions change. So
it wasn't anywhere close to 3. It was definitely closer to 5.
Yeah, but it's just still a 4.
It was a step up from the previous wine, which we gave a 4.
I want to give it a 5, but it's not quite there, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's great, but it is what it is.
All right. Well, Justin?
You be hypercritical the next one.
Would you like to Jimmy Stewart us about the next wines?
Sure. Let's see.
Stewart? That's a different Stewart.
Top of the next page.
Yeah. So Stewart Cellars is a family-owned and operated winery that has been producing premium quality wines since its inception in 2000. Founded by Michael Stewart, his son James Stewart,
Jimmy,
daughter Caroline Stewart Guthrie, and son-in-law Blair Guthrie. Together, the family oversees all aspects of the winery's operations. James handles sales, marketing and distribution, Caroline runs the day-to-day, and Blair is the winemaker along with consulting winemaker Paul Hobbs.
He's everywhere.
Yeah, he sure is.
Yeah.
And that also explains some of the quality behind this because, as you're going
to
see.
Yeah, talk to us about this one.
So this expression is the Stewart Cellars Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon 2021. It's 14.5% alcohol by volume. The fruit source is half Hannah Vineyard, 40% Julia Vineyard, and 10% Moynier Vineyard. Whole berry fermentation in stainless steel fermenters with wet cap immersion, totaling 26 days of extended maceration. Aged 22 months in 65% new French oak barrels. So on the nose, I got cream soda. I got sweet marzipan.
I'm running out of sound effects for when he says something goofy. Give me a minute. I got to go find another one.
Cream soda's not off. That's a big vanilla pop, right?
And really nice, like cedar, sandalwood kind of thing. So on the palate, I give like concentrated fruit, fried cherry pie, little bit of coffee, like maybe an Ethiopian espresso. It's got really good integration and it's beautiful. And the finish, oh, so fine. What did you think, Maury?
I like this one a lot. This is a vineyard I am not at all familiar with. And I am familiar very much so with Paul Hobbs, who's done an amazing job. He's all over the place. And you can definitely see his handiwork here. This, to me, is the sweet spot of where a Napa Cabernet ought to be. I think what they were striving for and they talk about is that they wanted to have a wine that was big and structured, that would have tremendous ageability, but yet that it was approachable and drinkable now on release. And I think they've accomplished that. Time will tell whether or not how well it ages, but I think if you like young Cabernets, which I do, this is beautiful. It's got a big nose, lots of red currant. I agree with you. There's a hint of peppercorn and some sandalwood, but on the palate, there's just concentrated fruits, a lot of dark black cherry. There's toffee. There's coffee. The tannins are beautifully integrated and balanced. It's just a chewy, delicious wine that I think would pair nicely with a beautiful piece of red meat. I can't say enough good things about this. This shows that it's been hand cultivated and hand created from scratch, and all that love that went into it really, really shows in the glass. Harm?
This is where I wanted that Camus 50th anniversary to be. I hate saying things like that. I hate comparing them, but this is that.
This is a little different than Camus style.
Now, the Camus style is sweeter and more approachable.
Correct.
But this is the style I like. You know, I want the heavier tannins. I want that grip.
This is a Camus special select.
Yeah, well, not quite that good. Not quite that good, but ish.
It's heading in that direction.
It's heading in that, yeah, and probably much more affordable, too.
I don't know. I bet this is not cheap.
I don't know. I have no idea what this costs. I've never seen this in Florida. I'm just saying it's probably not as expensive as the Special Select. The nose is just stunning to me. It's all those currants. I get the hint of the rose petals and violets that I got on the Camus, or that was more the hint. It was overpoweringly floral. It's just coming out in hints and just barely wafting out those floral notes. The sandalwood, you said sandalwood or cedar, right? Something like that.
Both.
You said cedar, he said sandalwood, right. Yeah, so that's coming out. That's really beautiful and fragrant. And there's a little bit of that black tea as well. And the fried cherry pie is a great note. I like that because it's the vanilla, the butteriness of the pastry, and the cherries. It's all there. This is so good.
It's like Amish fried pie.
And the finish is longer with good grip. Bob, what do you think?
These Californian wines are all so good.
Yeah. This is a fantastic wine. I mean, the nose is absolutely beautiful. The sandalwood comes through. The dark cherry on this, the dark red fruits on this. There's almost a dark toffee on the back.
He was talking about the fried pies. I can't get that out of my head. That's the vanilla.
Oh,
the
wish toffee, I had a fried pie, but I'm not tasting that.
That's a fried cherry pie.
But just so well and tightly put together. So I can't finish. We'll be back. It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love, our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view. Hey, and we're back, and we were just finishing up our discussion on the Stuart Cellars Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon 2021. This is an absolutely beautiful wine. I mean, what more can you say? It drinks well. I think this thing would go for years, but it's drinkable now. Great mouthfeel, great tannins, very well integrated.
Not the most complex, but still so good.
Oh, so good. So we are going to be rating the Stuart Cellars 5 sips.
Oh my goodness!
Yes!
So we're going to have Harm tell us about our next winery.
Okay, thanks, Bob. Our next winery is Alpha Omega. Alpha Omega Winery was established by Robin and Michelle Baggert in 2006. Located on the Rutherford Bench in the heart of Napa Valley, the Baggerts sought to create an estate.
There's no R.
Baggots? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For some reason, I read it was Braggarts.
Reading is fundamental.
Riff. Was that still a thing in school these days, reading? Yeah. So the Baggots sought
to create. Apparently not when you were there, but.
No. Well, that and I need new glasses.
You keep using the word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
So, the Baggots sought to create an estate comparable to the finest in the valley, and Robin began his wine career in 1988 as a grape grower, planting more than 750 acres of grapes in 1998, establishing the Tolosa Winery, I've never heard of them, in San Luis Obispo. Several months into the negotiation for the property that would become Alpha Omega, Sir Peter Newton of Newton Vineyards suggested to the Baggots that they talk to the winemaker and assistant winemaker about joining the new winery project. The team together had excelled in making award-winning wines for Newton Vineyards in Napa Valley and left to do the same thing for Alpha and Omega. Sourcing the grapes from some of the most prized vineyards throughout the top AVAs of Napa, most notably the Thomas Vineyard in Rutherford, the Bechstoffer, the Tocolone in Oakville, the Bechstoffer St. George III in Rutherford, and the Bechstoffer Dr. Crane and Bechstoffer Las Piedras in St. Helena, and of course, couldn't be without Stagecoach in Atlas Peak, the Drew Vineyard in Mount Veeder, and Sunshine Valley in Oak Knoll District. These guys are just name-dropping at this point. It's just crazy. So Alpha Omega Napa Cab 2018 is our first wine from them. It's 14.7% ABV, 94% Cabernet Sauvignon, 3% Cabernet Franc, 2% Petit Verdot, 1% Merlot, 70% barrel fermented, 30% in stainless steel tanks, aged 22 months in French oak, 75% of which is new, 25% in one-year-old barrels. The fruit is sourced from a range of sub-appellations stretching from the mountain slopes of Atlas Peak, which would be the Stagecoach, and to Spring Mountain, Howell Mountain, and the Valley Floor in Coombsville and St. Helena and Oakville and Oak Knoll. Alpha and Omega is a name dropper that they have the best source fruit. The color is a super intense, opaque ruby to garnet color with just ruby edges. This is, even though it's a 2018 and here we are in 2024 drinking it, it's still young. The nose, violets, blackberries. There's some black tea. There's some of that Rutherford dust coming out. It's just so much good and complex fruit and leather and flowers. I just love this. Mm. Mm. Currants, anise, rose. It's a huge palate. It's covering everything in your mouth. I'm feeling the tannins everywhere. My gums, the top of my tongue. The sides of the back of the palate. It's powerful. It's huge. I need... Bob, why didn't you bring us steaks?
Why didn't you bring steaks? I brought the damn wine.
And this is the baby of the lineup. Oh my God, this is great. The finish is infinitely long. Great tannins, super balanced. All the flavors you want from a Cabernet. Justin, what do you think?
So I definitely get the brightness of the fruit from the Howell Mountain ADA and the dryness that's characteristic of the Oakville AVA. I think it's very well balanced. It'll punch through anything you're eating, and this is going to be the star of your
meal. Yeah.
Yeah. What'd you think, Maury?
Yeah, no, I think the future's looking bright because, as Harm pointed out, this is the first expression and they're only going up from here in price and quality. But I thought this was extremely well made. I thought it was delicious. Again, it's got so much going on in the nose, and I think you guys have really nailed it on that. For me, the palate was boysenberry, currant, anise, rose, definitely some hints of French oak and a little bit of spice. I thought it was very nicely balanced. I think the tannins are well integrated. They're delicious. It really delivers. And again, I agree with you, Harm. It's fresh. It tastes like it was just bottled last week. It does not taste like a six-year-old wine. And I would argue that this hot wine will age and has many miles to go.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, they've released vintages since this 2018 already.
Oh, yeah.
The 2021's on the shelves out there. If you drink it now, you're killing a baby. Don't do it. The 18 is the one that's approachable now.
Well, Bob? All I can say is thank you to the folks at Alpha Omega, because when I reached out to them, they said, we want to have the wines on the show. We absolutely want to be on the show. But could you give us a couple of days? We want to think about what we want to send. I'm like, absolutely. We're happy to talk about whatever you're willing to share with us and with the audience. And he said, yeah, we've got a couple that we want to send you. Thank God they did, because this
well,
is
I think they did justice, because sending the new releases, 21, it's probably not going to show as well as these. These are really coming into their own and are ready to drink. And so I'm really pleased that they dug into the cellars and sent us something that was a little bit more approachable and drinkable right here, right now. And that's the problem. The American public, Harm, has to assess whether they're going to be drinking it tonight or they're willing to put it away on the shelf for a couple of years.
What are you talking about? You think he actually puts that much thought into
it? I put thought into it. I tell people, look, you buy this now, you're going to need to decant this for 2.5 hours.
I've been to his store.
And they don't want to do that. So I said, look, you buy this cheaper wine now to drink.
I've been to a store. You leave money. You leave now. Leave money. Get out. Okay. Please.
Little known, he has a Chinese laundry in addition to the liquor store.
Right.
In case you need to wash and drink.
Just give me your money, man. I don't want to talk to you about the wine.
This is so good.
This is $200. You're going to get good wine, whatever. I don't care if you have to hold it for 10 years now. Mm-hmm. You spend $200 on this thing now, you're going to waste your money. Because if you drink it too young, I tell them hold wine. This is not $200 wine, by the way, but I'm saying that in general, I tell people there's some wines you have to hold, some wines you have to decant for several hours. In the meantime, how about try this $20 bottle to pour and drink?
A very wise man once said, you'd have to know when to hold them.
Yeah, that's right.
And you have to know when to fold them.
Know when to run.
He also makes excellent chicken, but
made.
Yeah. Yeah, this Alpha Omega Napa Cab is absolutely fantastic. So I can't add any more. So we're going to be giving it a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
So that's going to take us to our next one in the Alpha Omega lineup. This is the Alpha Omega Cabernet Sauvignon Beckstoffer Tokalon 2018. So 14.8% ABV, 100% Cabernet Sauvignon, 90% barrel fermented, 10% stainless steel tank fermented, aged 22 months in French oak, 80% new, 20% one-year-old barrels. So planted by Napa pioneer Hamilton Crabb in 1868, the Tokalon Vineyard is known for the depth of its rocky, well-drained alluvial soil and grapes with ample tannins and bright natural acidity. So the color on this is
dark like my heart.
Darker than Satan's heart. It's
Well, that's my heart.
Oh, you don't have a heart.
Darkest sin.
Oh. It is dense. On the nose, there's some floral hints at the tip, but it's cocoa and a little bit of a minerality. A little bit of graphite, a little bit of dark fruit.
Like and on the this palate. This is not just graphite. This is the wood from the pencil and the graphite when you sharpen the pencil.
Pencil shavings,
right there.
On the palate, it just flows over your tongue. The tannins are just so well done and so well integrated. And just mouth coating. Black currants, dark cherry, A little bit of an herbal note for me, maybe a little rosemary, maybe a little sage, a little bit of more of that sort of dusty stone minerality.
I got that herbal note more on the nose. You get it on the palate too?
I didn't think it was going to get any better, but this one's better than the last one.
Dude, this one?
Yeah, this one is better.
Oh, wow. Well, it's Tokolon.
It's Tokolon. So, I mean, you're getting from one of the better vineyards on planet Earth, but you know, I do. It doesn't matter where the grapes come from. If you don't know what you're doing, you can still screw it up. And
yeah,
they know what the hell they're doing because this wine is fantastic. What do you think, Justin?
I thought this was an exceptional wine on the nose. I got like chocolate milk. I got a faint note of durian. On the palate, the tannins were enveloping. They're beautiful. I got some really cool rye bread on there. Maybe
I'm
a little pastrami too.
You said durian and I couldn't let it go.
Well, let's talk about it.
I'm not a fan of durian. It's not even legal to have on the subways in Singapore. What is...
Yeah, it's really good in pastry.
Well, though. He doesn't live in Singapore.
So yeah.
What difference does it make?
Durian tastes like feet.
In New York, they just move to the other side of the subway.
Onions, garlic, and feet.
Right. That's, and your point?
This is not... There's nothing there.
Put it this way. It was not complimentary to calling the wine durian-like. I think it's hard to point.
Continue with your review, but I had to call you out on that one.
Well, I was in...
Mr. Madison, what you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Okay.
No, I mean...
Continue.
Go ahead, Justin.
Three times in one day. It's awesome. I'm good. How about you, Maury? What'd you think?
I love this wine. I love the last wine. I thought this wine was the last one on steroids, flavor amped up to 11 or 12. I love Tokolon fruit. It's unbelievable that a vineyard can turn out such consistently amazing fruit. But if you see a wine label made from a reputable winemaker with Tokolon on the label, buy it. You won't be disappointed. The Tokolon Vineyard is a magical place on Earth that produces some of the most expensive grapes on Earth and some of the best wines on planet Earth. When it comes to Cabernet in California, Tokolon is by far my favorite vineyard. This was absolutely delicious. I loved it. Anybody else want to chime in?
Anything to add or am I moving on?
I think, doesn't matter what we say. The 2018 Tokolon Bechstoffer Alpha Omega is the way to go.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, leaving it at that, we're going to be giving the Alpha Omega Bechstoffer Tokolon 2018 Cabernet Sauvignon a well-deserved 5.6.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Oh,
my God. Yes.
So that takes us to our last wine. We're going to have Maury tell us about that.
And if it couldn't get any better, there is an even bigger...
Better?
Better. There's an even bigger brother, the Alpha Omega Cabernet Sauvignon Bex... the Alpha Omega Era Napa Valley 2018, 14.5% alcohol by volume, 92% Cabernet Sauvignon, 5% Malbec, 3% Petit Verdot, 100% barrel fermented, aged 22 months in French oak, 80% of which is new, and 20% is in a one-year-old barrel. Again, color deep, dark, and brooding. The nose expression with lots of complexity. There's vanilla. There's definitely the pencil shavings that we all spoke about. Graphite, a hint of tobacco, violets, lavender, lilac, licorice. There's a lot going on the nose. On the palate, silky at first, beautiful mouth coating viscosity. The tannins are fine, very nicely balanced. There are hints of cocoa and coffee, a little bit of cedar, perhaps even a little hint of barbecue, dark cherry, pomegranate, and then a finish that goes on and on. I didn't think the last one could get any better, but I think they knocked it out of the park with this one.
I don't know if this is better than the last one. It's just as good. Is it better, though?
It's at least as good.
Oh, my God. Justin, did you agree that these things is better? I know it's way more expensive.
I think this one's more approachable today. The other one's got miles to go and will last longer, but for drinking today, this one is... To me,
this one, I think, doubled the price of the last one, too.
So if I was going to have like Texas beef rib, I would go Eris. If I was going to go boneless ribeye, I would go to the Beckstoffer to
okay, well said.
So Eras is Tay-Tay's tour, Taylor Swift's tour. This is Era, singular.
The Eras tour, yeah. No,
this is singular Era.
She's probably Alpha not Omega eating Era. Beef rib or boneless rib.
Oh, she'd probably be good with beef rib, too.
I don't know. We should ask her.
What are you two idiots talking about?
You watch the show.
They're off in Never Neverland. Bob, what'd you think of this wine?
Goddamn. Why do I have to waste my time outwitting morons?
Yeah, okay.
I like that one.
Yeah.
That's a good bump.
The Era Napa Valley, again, fantastic wine. Beautiful, beautiful nose, rich, muscular, layered, complex. Flowers, the graphite, the minerality, the palate, huge, but I think slightly more approachable at this point.
Slightly more effeminate and slightly more approachable than the
previous. I love that it's a blend of, they've got a little bit of Malbec.
And that makes a difference.
And Petit Verdot.
That loosened it up just a little bit. But every bit is fantastic. So we're going to be giving the Alpha Omega Era Napa Valley 2018 a well-deserved 5 sips.
All right.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Yeah. And why is it 5? Because we don't have 6. So... Well, that's all the time we have today. I want to thank you guys for joining us today. You should be thanking me for this today.
Thank you, Mr. Wagner. Thank you, Harm.
Thank you, Mr. Wagner.
Thank you for the PR companies that decide to sell us, or not sell us, send us wine to review, because you make my month. Mm-hmm. This is, I taste wine every day at work, but the stuff we taste for the show, especially today. Wow. So thank good. You.
Yep. Yep. Well, honestly, I can't think of 3 better wineries we've had in a while. So fantastic wine. And that's it for us. Have a good day.
You can thank Maury and Justin.
It's okay.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip Suds and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @SipSudsandSmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions,
and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see y'all next time.